The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
It's lovely to see you all this morning, and you're very welcome to this service of morning prayer. One or two announcements. Next Sunday, we've got morning prayer at 11 o'clock and evening prayer at 7 p.m. as usual. This Wednesday at 10:30, we have got Holy Communion. We're continuing on Holy Communion over the summer. Because it was stopped for such a long time, we're just going to carry on and let it grow. And then at 2:30 p.m. on Wednesday, we've got our first English conversation session in the hall. It'll be at 2:30 p.m. Folks have been getting together, organizing it. They've been absolutely spectacular. So I'm looking forward to this Wednesday at 2:30. Please spread the word. If you have any neighbors, anyone you're in contact with who has a family over or knows of a family from Ukraine, tell them. Okay, 2:30. And on Thursday evening, we've got our online prayer meeting. So let me know if you want to be a part of that. I'm reading this. The rector, Reverend Canon Jonathan Pierce, will be away. I got it right this time. He'll be away until Wednesday the 13th of July. They're having a well-deserved break. So if you have any pastoral issues or anything you need, please contact me, come to me, and you're always welcome. And for our service today, the theme, what we're going to be thinking about, is that in all circumstances, we can trust in God no matter what is happening around us. So let's start our worship together by singing God is Love.
Thank you.
Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's stand together as we say the words of Psalm 66. Be joyful in God.
Be joyful in God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Sing the glory of his praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great strength, your enemies shall bow before you. All the earth shall worship you, sing praise to your name. Come now and behold the works of God, how wonderful he is in his dealings with humankind. He turned the sea into dry land, the river they passed through on foot. There we rejoice in him. In his might he rules forever. His eyes keep watch over the nations. Let no rebel rise up against him. Bless our God, O you peoples. Make the voice of his praise to be heard, who holds our souls in life and suffers not our feet to slip. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever.
Amen. Please take your seats.
The Old Testament lesson is written in the book of Exodus, chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, where there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massa and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
Let's stand and sing together, "Lord, thy word abideth." Please take your seats.
The New Testament lesson is written in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the word of the Lord.
Our reading this morning holds words that are so central to our faith. I am the way. Let's stand and declare our faith together with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
A special prayer for today, the third Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, you have broken the tyranny of sin and have sent the Spirit of your Son into our hearts, whereby we call you Father. Give us grace to dedicate our freedom to your service, that we and all creation may be brought to the glorious liberty of the children of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's continue in worship and sing together, Thou art the way to Thee alone.
God, help us to listen to your word with understanding, to receive it with faith, and to obey it with courage, for Christ's sake. Amen. A bishop was sailing from Southampton to New York in one of the great transatlantic liners. When he went on board, he found that he was sharing a cabin with another passenger. After settling into his cabin, the bishop went to the purser's desk and inquired if he could leave his gold watch, iPad, and other valuables in the ship's safe. He explained that he wasn't normally so suspicious of other people, but he was sharing his cabin with another man, and judging from his appearance, he didn't trust him and was afraid that his valuables might disappear. Well, the purser was very understanding, and took charge of the bishop's gold watch and iPad, and remarked, "It's all right, sir. I'll be very glad to take care of them for you. The other man has been up here and left his valuables for the same reason." But it's true, there are times when we find ourselves in situations when we aren't able to trust other people. For example, when travelling in countries where the language is unfamiliar, it's not hard to distrust people who seem to be overly friendly and helpful, because experience has taught us that there is some hidden motive behind this over-the-top friendliness. Then on the other hand, there have been those occasions when we have been suspicious of such friendliness and have been embarrassed to find out that the person was genuinely wanting to help us and there was no reason at all for our distrust. Distrust. Distrust destroys relationships. Distrust always points the finger at others. It always accuses others of being at fault. And for some people, trusting can be very hard work. Maybe it's part of their nature or their upbringing, but distrust and suspicion come easily, and at times can become all-consuming and ruin relationships. Whether we're talking about husbands and wives, neighbours, employers and employees, or countries, it makes no difference. Distrust can have disastrous consequences. And distrust can easily get out of control. When that happens, it breeds all kinds of other evils like hatred, slander, gossip, jealousy, violence, and even murder. If we find ourselves distrusting others, and it does happen to all of us at some stage, we need to work extra hard to move beyond it, to move beyond the distrust and the evils that go with it. The Bible is full of people whose trust quickly turned to distrust. In our first reading this morning, we heard about Moses and the people of Israel. When Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt, we're told that God didn't take them the shortest route up the coast to the Promised Land, but deliberately led them into the desert. It must have taken a great deal of trust in Moses as a leader and in God to head out into such unfriendly territory. After all, people die in deserts from thirst and hunger and heat and marauding enemies. But as we heard in our reading, trust in God and trust in Moses' leadership skills soon turned to distrust when the water and food ran out. The Israelites complained bitterly. "We wish we were back in Egypt," they said. "There we could at least sit down and eat meat and as much other food as we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve us all to death." The Israelites were actually willing to return to the oppressiveness of slavery in order to get regular meals. "What good is our freedom," they asked, "if we are going to starve to death?" Now, it's not that they hadn't experienced God's power and goodness. Just prior to this, we hear how God rescued the Israelites from the king and his army, when God parted the waters of the Red Sea and they were able to cross safely. They were hungry, and God gave them manna and quail to eat. You would think that these were clear lessons that they could trust God to take care of them. And today in our reading, we hear that they are thirsty. What do the people do? They lose their trust in God to care for them, and they complain yet again. You know, one of the greatest sources of unhappiness in people's life is discontent. We grumble so much, don't we? For instance, we grumble about the weather. We grumble about our families, our bosses, our friends. We grumble about the government, the economic situation, our inability to get ahead in life. We grumble about people in the church, or the way things get done or don't get done in the church. If you want to be unhappy, do a bit of grumbling. And let's be honest, we all indulge in it from time to time. When the people of Israel became discontented, they criticized God's rescue plan. They came to believe that God didn't know what he was doing, that he no longer cared for them, and had now left them out in the desert to die. They were so overwhelmed with their present circumstances that their trust had turned to distrust. And the truth is, when we grumble, we lose sight of the fact that God can be trusted. Yes, we may have experienced the goodness of God in the past, but our present circumstances overwhelm us, and in the heat of the moment, we can only see the desert and all kinds of trouble in front of us. We no longer see the one who loves us, the one who is ready to lead us through it all. But how do we know that God cares about us? How do we know? Well, that's a question that isn't hard to answer. We know because God the Father sent his one and only Son to become a human just for us. He suffered the agony of death just for you and for me. And he invites us to have trust in him. Even when, to our way of thinking, things are going all wrong, he reminds us that we can trust his wisdom and his love and his goodness. And even when it ends up that whatever trouble we are facing takes us from this life, Jesus says to us, trust God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. I am going there to prepare a place for you. Yes, even in the most extreme situations, God's love and faithfulness never gives up on us. The psalmist wrote, trust in the Lord because his love is constant and he is willing to save. It's true that we may not always understand the things that happen to us in our lives. There are mysteries that happen for which we would dearly love answers. Our faith is tested at times to the utmost limits. And we wonder why we have to go through some of the troubles that we do. We can easily become discouraged because it's so hard to see the goodness of God through all that is happening in our lives. However, in spite of our feelings, there is one consistent person in this inconsistent, upside-down world in which we live, and that is God. God does not change. He is the same today as he was in the days of the people of Israel in the wilderness. Our God gives generously and mercifully, just as loving parents do for their children. The only difference is that our Heavenly Father can do it perfectly. And like a true Father, he is very forgiving, even for our lack of trust. Just as parents are generous in their forgiveness toward their children, our Heavenly Father forgives us and now urges us to rely on him for everything, for every daily need. And even when the going gets tough, we are to trust him to care for us. Even when life makes no sense, we are to trust his goodness. When it seems everyone and everything else has abandoned us, we are to trust him to stand by our side and be faithful to us always. Remember, he has proven his love for us in his Son. And that love still burns strongly for each of us today. For that, we give thanks. Let us pray. Lord God, we want to trust you, but we find it hard to do so sometimes. We see problems rather than opportunities. We remember failure instead of success. We are filled with doubt rather than faith. Like some of your servants long ago, we crave a sign, some assurance that you will see us safely through. Forgive us for finding it so difficult to rely on you, for so easily forgetting all you have done for us. Teach us to trust you without reserve, and grant that we may draw closer to you until we need no further confirmation of your purpose than the daily living reality of your presence. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we bring before you our suffering and divided world. We pray for those who bear the scars of conflict, the injured, the maimed, and mentally distressed. We pray for those left homeless or as refugees, those who have lost their livelihood and security, and those who still live in daily fear of their lives. In particular, we continue to pray for the peoples of Ukraine and Afghanistan. We pray too for Somalia and other countries in our world where food security is once again under threat, where access to food is rapidly diminishing among poor families. We ask you, Lord, to be very present in all these situations. We thank you for the work of aid agencies and for those who refuse to be silent in the face of injustice. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we pray for those in any kind of need. We especially pray for those who face trauma and upheaval in their lives and those faced with difficult decisions. Reach out to them and grant the confidence that there is nothing in heaven or earth, in life or death, in the present or the future, that is finally able to separate them from your love. And we take a quiet moment to bring before you those of our friends and family who are ill, either at home or in hospital at this time, and those who have been bereaved in recent days. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Let's continue to think upon the fact that God can be trusted no matter what changes around us. Let's do this by standing and singing together through all the changing seasons of life. Thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you for joining us online, those of you who are watching through screens wherever you are. And thank you to Gillian for speaking to us today. And I'm going to be thinking about what she said for the rest of the day. There was a lot in there. On Thursday past, we had a beautiful confirmation service. If any of you weren't able to be there, it's online. And the bishop said something that I think is worth repeating as he left. Now that although COVID is still there, we're still thinking about it. The churches are safer than they were. I'm not saying they were unsafe, but you know, it's safer to be out in public. And if you know those people who still are wary about coming back or are uncertain about coming back, reach out to them and welcome them. And the bishop's words were, tell them that you miss them. And I think that's a lovely thing, because if they're family, we will miss them. And there may be people who, for whatever reason, comfortable reasons or uncomfortable reasons, haven't been around even pre-COVID. You know who they are. Reach out to them and tell them that they're loved. Tell them that you miss them. Let's close our service with a blessing prayer. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, whatever the season we live in, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and all your days. Let's sing together, Guide Me, O Thy Great Jehovah.